Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
That one coming live from Baltimore with J.P. Shadrick. Everybody's favorite J.P., unless you're in Cleveland. Where you got your favorite J.P. is Jonathan Peterlin.
Good save.
I realize.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well, because I was going to mock his last name, and then I was like, well, that's not nice. Because it's his name's Shadrick, and I was going to make a Papa Roach joke, and I was like, I don't think anyone's going to get it, because I think it's Shaddix, something. You see what was happening in real time while I was trying to set up a clip. I think we're gonna build a bridge here. You got to be open to the possibility of drafting a quarterback, yay?
Yeah. That's where I reside.
And I have been, the door is closed, don't you dare look at the door, don't you think about the door, we're not doing this, yes? Fair?
That's 100% how it's gone.
I've been a hardliner.
Yes, very much so.
And in fairness, not a great teammate. I've been taking my rage on the Browns out on you anytime we talk about this draft. There's two things.
Are you about to take out your anger on me again?
Maybe.
Okay, because your anger on the Browns. Okay, I need to mentally prepare myself here.
Well, see, I'd like for you to prepare for that, and then if I
no, I was preparing for the like. Here's where we shake hands, and we're like, you know, the graffiti where it's like hands across America, and everyone's shaking.
Yeah.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
Hands across America.
Then, yeah, but then it kind of felt like you were setting it up to be some sort of like, hey,
like
we're going to meet in the middle, to then just be like, I'm going to yell about the Browns even harder now.
There are two things. They can make me change my stance on drafting a quarterback this year.
Okay.
One, it is if Drew Aller continues to ball out in the playoffs and he uses that as maybe momentum to go into the NFL draft. I know Drew is not a finished product. I know you'd have to have a lot of patience with him. But in terms of physical upside, people are going to say Josh Allen, that's not fair. Josh Allen seems to be a bit of a one of one. But he is incredibly physically talented. And I think he actually might fit this system a little bit more. Here's the other thing with Drew Aller. I'll give you the other, but I want you to respond to this. I'll give you the other one in a minute.
I'm curious what the other thing
with
is
Drew
now.
Aller.
Is the other thing because he's from Medina?
No, but I think that's going to conflate it for a lot of people here. He has more experience than Mitchell Trubisky. I'm just going to throw that out there. But I actually think with Kevin, if Kevin sees that he fits the system, that I would be willing to give Kevin some patience on coaching up that kid, because I think his skills tell you that he has the skills of a guy that could be a top 10 quarterback.
Okay, I'm dying for number two.
I just wanted to let that linger in a minute. If as long as you're not taking one in the first round. Like, I honestly think Jalen Milroe in the second round is a better idea than probably Cam Ward in the first round.
Listen, where I'm standing on this is pretty simple. I am open to a first-round quarterback. I'd prefer a first-round quarterback, obviously. I'm open to a second-round quarterback if that's what they want to do as well. I don't want to do the thing where they take a fifth or a sixth-round quarterback and try to tell us it's Brock Purdy.
For 2 years?
Yeah, the DTR thing. That's not falling in love with the quarterback. That's you just taking a quarterback to try to think that you're going to sell us on you doing something, and that's not doing anything.
So can I here's another draft thing. Unless Kirk Cousins pulls the sword from the stone, all right, and all of a sudden finds his relevance and it fits like a glove and he gives you 3 straight years of being able to win with him, right?
Yeah.
Which again, it's not going to matter the next 2 years because you're still going to be juggling with the fact that he's a 37-year-old guy who had an Achilles injury, 2 years ago by the time he suits up for Cleveland. I honestly think we got to go to the Green Bay rule. I need you to draft a quarterback every year. This has become, and I think, and listen, every year is a little bit of hyperbole.
So, I mean, yeah, you're okay. Now we're playing on the same team here.
If you did Jalen Milroe,
that's the emphasis that I'm putting on all of this is that you really do have to throw as many darts at the dartboard as you can. And I know it's upsetting to people because they're like, oh, well, we have to take we still need help on the D line and we need help here. We need help there. Yeah, you do. But it's the most important spot in sports for a reason.
But so my thing is, it might make more sense to go Milroe in the second or third, or even like a Quinn Ewers in the fourth this year, and then bring them along and let Cousins have the full year.
But here's the thing. I mean, it reminds me very similar of DeShone Kizer, if we're being truthful about it. But the problem with non-problem with that is that, okay, fine. So you spend a second-round pick on DeShone Kizer, and he stunk it up for a season. Then what'd you do? You were in position to draft Baker Mayfield number one overall.
So the only thing I would say with that is the Browns never gave that kid a chance.
He was pretty bad.
Like that's well, he was, but he was a kid with a lot of physical talent. He had no business starting day one. And I mean, even in terms of emotionally,
they threw him to the wolves. I'm not going to try to sit here and make some sort of excuse out of that. And who knows? In a different world, maybe DeShone Kizer, it would have been different. But like that London game, that was. I mean, there's a lot there with DeShone.
Yeah, the organization. They did him dirty, quite frankly.
They did a lot of people dirty in that stretch.
And I so I think as long as you're of the mindset of, because here's the thing, if you take Jalen Milroe in the second round, don't give me, if he's not ready to play next December, if you're in the midst of a losing season, don't give me that crap of you need to figure out what you have.
That's why you bring in it doesn't matter, Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins, whoever you, $2 you call it. You call it out, right?
And then
Cousins. Yeah, great.
Is that
all
a good
right.
call out?
Kirk Cousins.
Like call
Kirk
out.
Cousins, DeShone Watson, and Jalen Milroe. And again, it could be any quarterback you wanted. We're just using those three in particular. And then you tell Stefanski, figure it out. Figure it out. Make one of these guys great. And if you can't, I'm giving you three different options. If you're telling me you can't make any of them great, then I have to reassess what I think about you as a person that can actually do the quarterback thing.
But for
this, you're not like Kevin O'Connell, who now I believe is a quarterback whisperer.
But unless Drew Aller comes out, I'm much more comfortable. I'm not comfortable in any way taking a first-round quarterback unless Drew Aller comes out. So then to me it becomes, all right, Kirk Cousins with Milroe or Ewers. And I'm just saying names now. I'm not endorsing any of the names. Although I kind of love the Jalen Milroe, Jalen Hurts conversation, even though Jalen played a little bit more college football.
And Jalen wants the comp to be Lamar, not Jalen Hurts?
Yes. Well, and here's the other thing. I actually think Jalen Milroe has a stronger arm than Jalen Hurts. But again, I digress. So I'm okay with drafting a quarterback on some level. But I just don't want to, even in kind of how Mike Mayock set it up there, I asked him, which one of these quarterbacks fits Stefanski's system more? And he said Shedeur Sanders. The problem is Shedeur does have a lower ceiling. Because he is more undersized. His arm is not great. It is, I would say it's an okay arm. I don't think it's a great arm. And I'll be honest with you, I think you're going to have to train a lot of bad habits out of him because the last 2 years he's played in front of an offensive line that is abhorrent.
Yeah, well, why I'm cool with either Shedeur or Cam is just the idea that you need the most important position in sports figured out. Browns need to have that answer. And I get it. I understand it. They're not the greatest comps in the world, and they're not perceived to be the world's greatest. They're also not perceived to be bums either. They're not perceived to be guys that should be taken in the fourth or fifth round or anything like that, or guys that shouldn't be throwing a football. Like, there's still stuff to them. Shedeur still has very high remarks in certain aspects of the game. There's even Cam Ward. Cam Ward's got a lot that he does right. And so I just think the baseline for either one of those guys is high enough that if we think enough of Stefanski the way that I do, then he's got to be able to make that work. That's something that he should be able to make.
So I think, and this is therein lies the difference. I finally landed the plane there.
It might just be what you think of Stefanski.
Well, and I don't think he's Kevin O'Connell. Both in terms of winning.
I think O'Connell right now is a wizard.
Yeah, no. And which, by the way, Kyle Shanahan has gotten that tag before.
Yeah.
Honestly, what McVay did with Goff and then Baker and then Matt Stafford, like, I do think, I think all of, like, that's just not where Kevin is.
There are certain guys that are obviously great at it. I don't think Stefanski is great at it, but yeah. I also think, looking across NFL head coaches across the league, if you were to tell me pick a coach that you think could get to that same Kevin O'Connell spot, I think Stefanski's in the conversation. And I definitely think if we're just talking broad picture coaches, he's the type of coach that you would be able to take a Shador Sanders or a Cam Ward and say, figure it out, and they're supposed to. This isn't, with all due respect to a Mike Tomlin or a defensive-minded coach, it's not that.
So this is a preamble to a bigger conversation we're going to have in the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
But just quite frankly, I just don't have that kind of faith in Kevin. And because I think we've overrated the success that he's had with Jacoby, with Baker, with any of these guys. And I continue to come back to, if the only way you can build a good offense is if it's an offense that you've run for a decade, if you can't morph that offense to make it still not even potent, just playable. Like Kevin, Ken Dorsey brought in a lot of the concepts.
Again, but when you draft somebody and then you figure it out from there, that's where the task comes on Stefanski. That's where we get to find out. If everything that they're trying to tell us about Stefanski and what a lot of the fans believe is true, here would be your chance to put up or shut up. Like, we'd have a real answer on whether or not Stefanski can get that job done.
But I think to have the real answer, I think it's a safer gamble. Because here's the thing. I don't want to do what the Cardinals did, going from Josh Rosen clear overdraft. I mean, Josh Rosen was drafted because of a hot tub and what he did his freshman year at UCLA. The last 2 years were not appetizing. I fell for that, too. It's okay. Josh Rosen, and then later, you're again shoehorning yourself into taking Kyler Murray.
Well, it wasn't shoehorning, though. It was the number one overall pick. Like, they tanked the way that they were supposed to because it didn't work out, and then they put themselves in a spot where they thought, okay,
to this point,
time to take the number one overall pick. And that part, like, number one picks blow up in your face. It's kind of the conversation that we didn't get to yesterday in regards to, do you have a million years to figure it out? We have so many examples right now of number one overall quarterbacks. By the time you have the stars align and everything adds up, the number one quarterback not even being the quarterback that you thought it could be, or like in the instance of Trevor Lawrence, in a spot where you're paying him $250 million and you're never going to get there.
So here's, because some of the ways that I think of Kyler, I kind of think of Shador. If Shador is Kyler, would it be worth it for the Browns to take him?
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot projecting there, because right now, no, only because Kyler Murray hasn't thrown for 20 touchdowns in a season in 5 years.
I mean, he's Derek Carr. He had one elite season.
He's got no playoff wins. He hasn't thrown for 4,000 yards. Like, he has not been a success.
Because I do think, and again, I think the Browns organization.
Like, you could tell me it'd be Trevor Lawrence right now, and I'd say that's not successful.
But I think the Browns organization is healthier than the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals, again, continue to be low-key one of the worst-run organizations in football. So I would give him a little bit better chance to hit a ceiling here. But I think that's part of my, and by the way, some of the stuff said about Kyler is some of the stuff said about Shador off the field. So that's more how I think about it. Like, if you're going to take a top pick, my expectation is you're going to be a franchise quarterback. And if you're the 12th, this is the thing that was weaponized against Baker. If you're the 14th best quarterback, that's not going to be good enough long term, because then the expectation is, because you got paid number one, you're going to get $50 million, probably more than that, 5 years from now. Whereas with a second-round pick or a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick, specific to this year in a not-great quarterback class, the bust rate is just not going to kill you the same way.
I don't think either one kills you the same way.
I think
you just brought up the Josh Rosen example. I think it's a really good example. Like, Josh Rosen stunk. He was gone after a year. And because he still stunk, they were able to draft the number one overall pick the following season.
Yeah, but neither of it's worked out.
No, but it had Kyler Murray been whatever number one pick or whatever. Like, again, the odds are just wherever they need to be. It just it was the wrong year to have the number one pick, but it didn't set them back as far as if the number one overall pick in the quarterback draft class that year had been Peyton Manning, like it would have worked out.
216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys. I'm trying to open up. I'm trying to be a better teammate.
Yeah, just, I mean, it's not that. It's just what I want out of you in this instance, and you don't have to deliver it to me or anything like that, obviously.
It seems like a mandate.
No, it's just I want you to have an open mind to the idea that getting it right at the most important position in sports is obviously incredibly hard, but you have to keep taking those chances the most important spot. But, like, this is not, you can't look at the quarterback spot. You have to look at it differently than you do defensive end, than you do linebacker, than you do cornerback. You just have to keep taking chances and opportunities. You just have to.
And I think from my standpoint, I just like a little acknowledgement that teams use that logic to do a lot of dumb things and overdraft guys at quarterback more than any other So,
of course, that's because it's the quickest way to turn around a team.
Yeah, and it's also the quickest way to sink a team.
Well, but you can keep taking chances is the point. You have to. You're sunk. If you don't ever get it right and you don't take those chances, you're never going to end up in a spot to win big.
But every pick doesn't have to be a number one pick, nor does it have to be this year.
You don't get a third overall pick often. Like they don't just happen often.
If the quarterback fails, you're going to have another top five pick.
Which is a good thing, to take a quarterback.
Even if you don't do that, you can also trade up for him, which teams have done pretty regularly.
The only way to win big is to have a franchise quarterback. You have to.
Yes, but you shouldn't do dumb things in the name of doing something.
It's not dumb. Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, you can find reasons.
We just had Mike Mayock who said they would be starting as the fifth best quarterback this year.
He also said you have to take a quarterback. You heard that in the clip.
Yeah, but he didn't say specific to a top three pick. He said it, you have to take a quarterback in general. Yeah.
You have to take a quarterback.
216-474-0092. As we continue on, we're getting back to the Browns quarterback situation. Kevin Stefanski's role in it, but a really, really astute point by Chris Fedor on where the Cavaliers are going forward and who gets credit and who doesn't on 92.3 The Fan.